bless you. Let's turn to the book of St. John, chapter 9. We realize without his presence being here, our gathering would be surely in vain. But he's promised us when we gather like this in these times, he would come here and be with us. We have seen his being already made manifest and the wonderful things that he has done for us and speaking to us. I'd like to say I sure enjoyed the testimonies of the young people this morning to see the grace of God with the keeping power. I believe the Lord Jesus revealing his power. It's just the same Spirit of God. If the Holy Ghost had fell on the day of Pentecost and kept the apostles through what he kept them through, the same Spirit of God will keep us in this day. Amen. St. John chapter 9, we want to begin reading verse 1. We looked at peer pressure last night and the night before, and tonight we'd like to change the scene just a little bit. Still with the same thought, peer pressure, but from a different character in the Bible. And then we want to go to a man that had the Holy Ghost that succumbed to peer pressure. And then we want to look at Brother Branham tonight again if we can. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? Now watch the question. Master, who did sin? This man or his parents? That he was born blind. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Let's bow our heads together. Our Father, we love you tonight. We're grateful again for the privilege that we have together here, Lord Jesus, to sing songs to you, to hear testimonies, to worship you. Dear God, once again now it's time for us to approach your word and look into the volume of this book. And we know, as your prophet has told us, that any person physically able could take the pages of this Bible and open it up. But oh God, only the Holy Ghost can really open that word and quicken it to our hearts. Tonight, Lord Jesus, as a needy people, we have come, young, old, middle-aged. We have all sorts of needs among us, dear God. But we believe tonight that we are approaching one who is so sufficient to meet all of our needs and our desires. Oh God, I pray you would take these human lips, dear God. May you perform before our eyes again another miracle tonight. That the Almighty God could take a mortal, a human being, and move that human being aside long enough that the Almighty God could come and use that part of himself that he placed inside a human being. We know, Lord, the only thing that is worth us ever saying would have to be you saying it, Father. So I just pray, dear God, it would be fulfilled before our eyes tonight that the prophet of God said, when God puts a gift in a man's life, then God comes and uses that part of himself. Lord Jesus, Donnie Reagan is not worth anything. That part of that human instrumentality, oh God, it's not that. But Father, if you can just come and use that part of yourself, Lord, that you placed in my life. May the people of God pull upon that part of you, Father. May I yield myself to that part of you tonight that we may be benefited by gathering here. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Now, this man that we're going to look at tonight is one of my favorite characters in the New Testament before the new birth. He has quite an opposition that he's going to meet. Now, in this, one of the reasons that I chose this particular place was because there is a combination of a religious pressure going on to this man, and at the same time there is a family pressure that is going on at this man, and both of them are joined together at the same time. But this is a man that, now he doesn't have the new birth yet. He's not been born again. His nature has not been changed. And the only thing actually that Jesus has done for this man is he's healed him. Now we know, of course, that is the outer realm. That's the outer man.
But something so great has happened to this man. It so transforms his life, his thinking, his desire, even his recognition of what truth is, that he's willing to stand up against his mother and father. He's willing to stand up against all of his associates, even the priests and the great learned men of that day. And he's willing to be identified with Jesus and not even really knowing who he is. Now, if this man could do that with that kind of an experience in that day, then tell me what a son of God, a young teenager, a middle-aged, whatever you are, a son of God, a daughter of God that has totally been transformed. They've been justified, they've been sanctified, they have been completely sealed in their soul with the Holy Ghost, that germ of life that was laying inside of them, which was a part of the Father's thinking before the foundation of the world. Then, my brother, sister, that Spirit of God inside you and I believe can take every bit of the pressure that the devil can dish out to us in this hour. Amen. Now, not only are you and I under pressure of all the powers of darkness, but yet the prophet of God said there is a pressure that follows a spiritual life. There is a pressure that goes with this message. Now, can you imagine you and I living in the culmination of all the ages? We're living under the pressure of perfection, the pressure of loving one another, the pressure of forgiving people, the pressure of staying 100% on the Word of God. The pressure of all the ages has built to such a state, and you and I are demanded of God to reach a state of complete maturity. And all of that, we got drunks all around us, we got striptease women all around us, we got painted faces everywhere you look, it's there. So every direction we are under a pressure. Oh, but that's good for us, because they tell me that diamonds are made under pressure. They tell me that it takes a tremendous amount of the pressure of the layers of the earth pressing together to make real, genuine gems. And I believe that the prophet of God has taught us that he's coming for a bride who has a character that is none less than his own. Whatever kind of a woman leaves this world in the rapture proves what kind of man Jesus Christ is. If a person leaves this world in the rapture that is a liar, it proves that Jesus Christ has that nature. But because he is absolute perfection, then the only thing that can leave this world is absolute perfection.
Amen. Oh, and it takes all kinds of trials to mold us. Because you see, when you get the Holy Ghost, you don't get perfect character.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Now, watch it now. How was the character of Jesus molded? Through suffering. Suffering. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. What is the promise of the overcomers of this age? To him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I have overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. So the Lord is not just offering us our name in the book. He's not just offering us just some kind of, you know, mere reward of the other church ages. But he is offering to the overcomers of this age a position in his throne. And in order for you and I to sit there and to be those that will judge in this day, we must have a character that is of the Word. It cannot be impartial. It cannot be a carnal character. It must be a divine character that is made to pressure and suffering and difficulty.
God looks at it and he says, this is wonderful for you. And we look at it and say, oh God, what's wrong?
He says, there's nothing wrong.
Lord, I've got the Holy Ghost. All hell's broke loose.
Praise God. If you got the Holy Ghost and all hell didn't break loose, I'd wonder if you really got the real genuine or not. Because, brother, when you really get born again, you become one that's going to cause pressure on the kingdom of hell. I made up my mind by the grace of God. If I go by the way of the grave and the demons, you know, from this realm go down into hell and tell the devil, Donnie Reagan died, I don't want the devil saying, Donnie Reagan, Donnie Reagan,
to know. You're kidding. The man died? Wow! He died! I want to cause him trouble. I want to cause him pressure. If the devil can get migraines, I want to cause him migraines. If the devil can get ulcers, I want to cause him ulcers. Because we are placed here to cause pressure.
Now, I know that sounds different. I know it does. Because so much of us are so beat down and beat down. You know, instead of us getting up in the morning when our five toes hit the side of the floor, and we get up and we say, hallelujah. Where are you at, devil? Most of us get up, dear God, another day. Another day of having to face the devil. Oh, God, another day with the devil behind me. What do you mean he's behind you? You ain't got no armor on your back. God, you put all of your armor in front. That means you're supposed to meet that devil face to face. A child of God ain't got no business running from the devil. That's opposite according to the scripture. But if we submit ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, resist the devil and what? He will flee from you. Now that's a man or a woman that knows how to cause pressure. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, sister, I know you may look at me and think, where is this guy from? I'm from heaven. Okay, I'm from heaven. This is the way my family thinks. It's bred in my family to talk this way. It's bred in my family to think this way. Hallelujah. Now watch this little guy here. This is one of my brothers. It runs in my family. I can't help it. I had a brother one time and they throwed him down the lion's den because he wouldn't bow. I had three more brothers. They throwed him in a furnace of fire. It runs in my family to be this way. I just can't help it. It's in my spiritual genetics. God didn't breed a coward when he bred the real child of God. No, sir. God put something inside of you to stand against the wiles of the devil. God put something inside of you to take the pressure of this age. Not run around like a little baby. Oh, I'm so beat down. I'm so beat down. Oh, I'll never be able to make it. Oh, but a real child of God looks right straight in the middle of trouble. And they say the same God that saved me has got his hand on me. And he didn't save me to lose me. He didn't pick me up to let me down. Hallelujah. Now just look at this little fellow and watch him. How he operates under pressure. Now Brother Bam taught us in the message identification preached in Phoenix first time in 63. He said the Bible tells us that we can take and identify ourselves with Bible characters. Now you know the devil does that for you. You ever go to church and the preacher preach on Judas? And the devil sat right there and said, did you notice him when he looked around out of the corner of his eye? His eyes fell right on you when he said Judas. When he said make-believer, just so happened he looked right at you. How many has ever had it to happen to you? One of the brothers in my church said, you know, Brother Don, the devil battled me over and over and over with Judas. He said, because my name is Jim, starts with a J. Same letter that Judas did. He's a treasure of the church. And he said, I'm the treasure of the church. He said, but I realized one day it was the devil that was lying to me. Listen, friend, the devil is going to identify you if you listen to him. But why not let the Holy Spirit identify you? When you talk about Judas, you ain't talking about me. When you talk about Pharaoh, you ain't talking about me. But when you talk about children of God, then I pay attention. Yeah. And when you talk about guys like this, hey, this is me, man. This is me. Yes, sir. If I'd been living the days of Jesus, I'd have been one of these kind of guys. Hallelujah. I wouldn't have been a Pharisee or a scribe or a Sadducee on that scene. I'd have been one of these kind of guys right here because the same spirit that's on me today would have acted the same way back there. And it's on you too. Now watch. Look at it. The neighbors therefore, verse 8, said, they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Oh my, he's rejoicing. Man, I was blind, but I can see. He didn't know what that testimony was fixing to do for him.
You young people, you stood up and you testified of the great things the Lord has done for you, of the touching power of the Holy Spirit on your life. Hold firm to that thing and remember the prophet of God said, the devil will make you pay for every inch of the ground that you claim in God. You don't get a mile and the devil make you pay for the mile, but every little inch. I mean, you just barely move. The devil says, pay. Put up or shut up. You say you got it, huh? I'll see if you do. And God says, go ahead, devil. He's got it. He can take it. He's got the goods. You know what Brother Rim said about Job? He said God had confidence in Job because God had been fellowshipping with him. He knew what was inside of Job. He knew what was inside of Job. Now watch this man. Oh my. Now they're going to ask him. He gives this great testimony. Are you the man? Yes, I am him. Therefore said they unto him, how are thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. Now listen to this testimony. How medically. You know, imagine people listening in such a statement. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. Now, first of all, Jesus was so unsanitary with his approach. He doesn't go over to the creek or well. He spits down in the dirt, takes his finger, makes up this little spittle of mud, and takes and plasters all over this man's eyes. And the man's blind. And they said, you go to the pool of Siloam. Lord, how do you think I'm going to get there? Go. So here he goes. Mud all over his face. His eyes plastered with mud. Ain't it something how Jesus does things? You know many people that come around the message and oh my, they want to hold their high-fluting attitudes and they want to be a Christian. And they're so afraid, tears might trickle out of their eyes. And they might get a little bit emotional. And they look around and say, oh my, I would never want to be like that. You know, Brother Ben told us about the old colored guy down in the south. And he got salvation real good. And his boss come to him one day and he said, you know, Sam? He said, I need this salvation. He said, all right, boss. He said, come on, let's go pray. And he led him up past the barn. He said, isn't this good enough? He said, no, let's keep going. He went on out past the pasture. And he finally took him up to the pig pen in the mud, and he walked right out in the middle of the mud and he said, come on, boss. He said, I don't want to come in there and get it. Why? He had too much pride about it. If he wanted God bad enough, he'd wallow in there like an old sow if he had to. That's right. You see, God knows and really humiliates this man just starting off. So here he goes, down trying to find his way to the pool of Siloam. Hey, John, where you been? You been rooting with the pigs, ain't you, boy? Ah, look at him, he's got mud all over his face. Hey, where you been? Oh, I've been up there, Jesus. Well, that makes sense then. So he comes back, he washes his face and his eyes and gets all the mud and everything out of it. And he opens up his eyes and he can see. He can see. And people would say, hey, don't that look like old John that used to sit there? Well, it looks sort of like it. Hey, I'm he. Well, now, John, what happened? What happened? Did the doctors use some sort of herbal mix on you? What was it? Did the priest, or said Jesus, spit in the dirt and made clay and rubbed it on my eyes? You said Jesus did that? Yeah, Jesus did it. John. No. How humiliating. Well, I can't believe that you'd even fall for such a thing. And here our holy priests have lived such clean lives. And our Essenes, when they go out to work during the day, you know, this is traditional writings, that they say when they would come in to eat dinner, they would change their garments and they would not put a bite of food in their mouths until they had washed from their fingertips plumb up to their elbows 3 and 4 times before they would ever put a bite of food in their mouths.
because they was looking at the outside, trying to get it holy, trying to get it perfected, and trying to get it to a place that God would accept it.
This little guy was just ignorant and dumb. He just believed, that's all.
He said, Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. They said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now we're going to check this out. We're fixing to turn the pressure upon you, boy, and see how good your testimony holds. We're going to bring you before the Sanhedrin. We're going to bring you before the doctors and the Pharisees, and they're going to rake you over the coals. Rake. Because a real man that has real gold ain't afraid of fire.
Right.
Oh no, the prophet of God says you got good gold, you ain't afraid of the fire. It just brings you out more pure. Now watch it. What's the pressure? First of all, from the religious sect. Where is he? Oh, don't know. They brought him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day. Why did Jesus always do these things on the Sabbath day? He just looked like he was looking for trouble. He goes into the temple one day, the synagogue, and there's a man there. This king, they brought him in, he was laying there on his bed. Jesus said, be well, be whole. Take up your bed and go to your house. Now, why didn't Jesus wait till on Sunday to do that? Why did he wait till Monday? Why did he choose the Sabbath? And he comes and he finds this man. On what day? The Sabbath. And this man that ordered all day, Jesus, has to break the traditions of the elders to walk past the designated distance that they thought was against the breaking of the law to wash his eyes. So they bring him to the traditional leaders. Now they're sitting there so strict. They're sitting there so legal. My, they are going to rake him over the coals. And it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. So that makes your healing conjured up by a false prophet or a Beelzebub.
Yeah, right.
This man's a breaker of the law. My, they're really cranking the pressure down on this old boy. Ain't nobody standing with him. He's standing by himself. Jesus ain't even there. Jesus just heals him and walks off and leaves him standing there by himself. Oh, he does us like it seems like sometimes. Oh my, he'll do a work in your life, young people, old people, all of us. He'll do a work in our life and then just kind of pull himself back and say, all right, devil, go ahead. You know, it's a drama to God. It's a great drama that the Father has been acting out since the foundation of the earth. Now, each one of us have our part in this drama to act out. And the thing for us to do is pray and find our heavenly position in the thinking of God. That's all I desire for my life, is that my life can match the original thought of God for me down in this space of time. Because if my life can match that purpose, then I have achieved the ultimatum of my life. If I never amount to anything in the world, if my life can fit in the Father's drama, I will have acted out perfection. Oh, hallelujah. Watch him now. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that is open on us? And he said, well, y'all said he was a devil. Y'all, now I've got to take all these things in consideration now, because you're my elders. Y'all said he broke the Sabbath. Watch him. They're trying to crank down a pressure on him. What do you say about this man? We done told you he broke the law. We told you he's a sinner. He said, he's a prophet. What? you would stand here in utter defiance of the council of the Pharisees and say this man is a prophet. I like this guy. Don't you? Oh, I like him. He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. But did it change his revelation? Didn't change him a bit. He wasn't even intimidated. I'm going to tell you young people something. You don't have to believe this message and go around being intimidated. You don't have to be ashamed of where you go to church. You young girls with your long hair and your long dresses, you don't have to let the young girls of the world intimidate you and laugh at you and make fun of you. You ain't got one thing to be ashamed of. You are part of the elect of the earth, the redeemed of all the ages. You have nothing to be embarrassed of. Hallelujah. He didn't feel intimidated. He wasn't ashamed. What do you think? What do you think about this man? That's a prophet. He just said, right there, said, oh, I just believe he's a prophet. He's a prophet. Didn't you hear what we said? I really don't care what you said. He's a prophet. Hallelujah. You see, my friend, when revelation gets a hold of the soul and it moves beyond the five senses of the outside man, it moves beyond the second realm, which is your spirit, and moves down inside of your soul, I don't care if they laugh at you, if they make fun of you, you men on your job, you sisters at school, wherever you are, that something so grips your soul, it don't make any difference what anybody says, you'll stand for the truth. Now, this man didn't have the Holy Ghost. Is this right? Didn't even have the Holy Ghost. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And yeah, the religious men pressing. Couldn't change his testimony, couldn't change anything about it. Just brought out more confession.
Right.
And they asked them, saying, is this your son? Now they're going to use a little religious pressure coupled with mom and daddy pressure. Is this your boy? This is our son. Is this your boy? Yes, Holy Father. This is my boy. What's happened to him? Oh, Holy Father, I don't know what's happened to him. One day I come in and he had one of them tapes going. And I believe something happened to the boy after that. I believe there's something on that tape that must have brainwashed it. It wasn't a brainwash, it was a soul wash. Hallelujah! They say we're brainwashed. Uh-huh, it wasn't our brain that God washed. It was our soul that God washed by the water of the Word. They ask him, say, is this your son? Who you say was born blind? How doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, now, kind sirs, we know this is our son. I mean, it looks so much like him. We're sure that it's our boy. I don't understand what's happened to him. I mean, used to he was more normal. You know what normal is in this day? You know what normal is? Committing suicide? Young girls giving up their virginity? That's normal. That's normal to this world. That shows how much the thinking of the people has fallen from the origination of this country, friends. Look what it is. Look at Canada when it started 100 years ago or whatever it was. Look at the United States, how far she fell. And the thinking, the normal thinking years ago is absolutely opposite from what it is today. It's no wonder the people of the world look at us like we're Martians. I mean, because think of it. We are in the minority. You sisters, you are not the majority. Used to be people that looked like you. I was norms. But you're not today. I mean, you go into a grocery store somewhere. In a restaurant, they look at you with that long hair. And them long dresses you don't have shorts on. And you ain't running around like a stripped down prostitute trying to sell your body. And you're not normal. Thank God we're not normal. to this world anyway. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, amen.
Is this your son? Yes. We're 99% sure. This is us. Now, what's happened to him?
Now, that we don't know. We're so tore up about it ourselves, we're afraid he's got off in some kind of cult or something. I mean, you see, the boy was normal. He'd go in his room and he'd crank up that rock and roll music and bust out the windows and come out of there with his head all shaking around, and the boy was normal. Now he goes down there and he gets down on his knees and he prays and he prays and he prays, and we feel a strange presence come into the house when he goes to pray. We don't know what it is. He just ain't normal. Oh, it's normal for a preacher that has come from heaven. It's normal for a son of God. Is this your son? Who did you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know this is our son. And we know he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. Because we don't believe this stuff now. We want you brethren to know we're not identified in this at all. This is our boy. We've tried to bring him up according to the good old Roman tradition. I mean creeds and dogmas and things. Something got a hold of that boy. He went down there, got amongst some of them young people. We told him to be careful. There's cults out there. And the boy, I believe he got under something, some kind of powder or something. They got together and shook it on him. Friend, it ain't a power. It's a breaking of a blood cell of the Lamb of God that comes down and changes our mind. Some of you sitting here know what I'm talking about. Because some of your family thinks you are crazy. They feel like you've left everything. Thank God we have. We have been quickened from another world. We are now under another pressure.
He is of age. Ask him. Now, I want you to look. This is mother and a father. But now their reputation's on the line. And their position in the synagogue is on the line. And they are bending to peer pressure. You see, young people, this mom and daddy never learned how to cope with it as children. So they come up here. Now they're standing in the presence of their own son.
Well, this is our boy, they would think. But I'll tell you what, he's of age. Why don't you ask him?
Now you imagine this boy standing here. Born blind. They didn't come, glory to God, glory to God. They come scared to death.
Amen.
Because the big men had called him up. Not rejoicing. Oh, our son, our son, our son.
But they kind of stood there looking at him, soured.
What have you done? What have you got us into? I always know there's something weird about you. You took it out to your mother's side, didn't you?
And here they stand. They don't even run up and say, oh, son, we're so glad you can see. I said, just ask him about it. We don't want nothing to do with it. We don't want no part of it. Ask him.
Look, what pressure built up on this man. He wasn't even saved yet. He just got healed, that's all. My Lord, young people, what about some of you that's got the Holy Ghost? You don't have to back down. Oh, when a young boy or a young girl goes to say, ha, 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 holy roller, huh? So you got religious. No, I didn't get religious. I got salvation. Yeah. Amen. Religion is a covering. I got to change. I don't want a covering. I want to be changed. Not temporarily, but for eternity.
Yeah. He is of age.
Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. Now they cranked the pressure upon them. They said, all right, any of you that goes to this renegade Jesus meetings, you go down there and be seen with that prophet from Galilee. We'll take your name off the book. You will not be welcome back in the synagogue again. Now imagine there stood God in the form of a man. And they feared the Jews more than they feared God. Young man, would you fear some young boys at school? Well, you say you don't know what it's like. No, I don't know what it's like now. But I know what it's like when I went to school. I gave my heart to the Lord at the age of 12 years old back in Pentecost. And I started preaching when I was 18. I know what it's like to go to school and the young boys aggravate you. They used to bring dirty pictures at school to me. And they would try to hem me up in a corner. And they'd hold them old dirty pictures up before my eyes. I'd close my eyes and put my hands over my eyes. And they'd try to pull my hands down over my eyes. I said, get that thing away from me. I don't want to look at that.
Right.
And say, oh, go on, Moses. I said, I'd rather be a Moses than a Pharaoh.
Amen.
Oh, brother, sister, listen, the men of God, you young people, we're not against you. We love you. We're not trying to take away from you. We're trying to give you the very thing that'll give you life. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was a Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. You've got to be put out of the synagogue. You can't even go to church. You can't even worship. Now, their worship was associated around a place, not a person. A place. And if you don't get to go to that place, you can't worship. You can't worship. You can't be genuine. You can't worship. You can't get to God. So they control them by telling them, if you believe this Jesus, you can't even worship in the synagogue. God won't even hear your prayer. You won't even have an altar to offer your lamb on. You'll have no priest to act as intercessor. And you will be an outcast. And they stood there terrified. Oh, God. I don't want to be an outcast. I need a priest to sacrifice for me. I need an altar to place my lamb. This young man didn't understand all that. But somehow it dropped in his heart. This is a prophet. Little did he know, before him was his priest. Before him was his lamb and his altar and his propitiation. The pressure didn't move him. Oh, these words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already, if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. Therefore said his parents. His parents! They wouldn't even stand and say, look, we don't understand this. We don't know what it's all about, but we see a change in our son. They just separated themselves away from him. And here he stands. The priest against him, even his own mother and daddy. And he stood there by himself. What about it now? He's a prophet. You crazy man. Ain't you got enough sense to realize he's a prophet? You ain't got no place to go to church.
He's a prophet. Son, come to your senses. Mama, I think I finally have. He's a prophet. But Jesus nowhere to be found while all this is going on. Oh, but Jesus shows up at the right time. Now watch him. He lets him go through all this pressure. My, they question him and go back and forth and back and forth. And they again called the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, whereas I used to drink and smoke and lie and listen to rock and roll, I don't do that no more. And furthermore, I don't even have a desire to do it. My friend, salvation is not you quitting drinking and you quitting this and quitting this and quitting this. It's getting a new nature. The prophet of God tells us in the message called Oneness 1962, the way that God and his original family had oneness was because the nature of God was in Adam and Eve. And when Adam forfeit his right to the book of life to express every name on the earth by the spoken word, then the book went back into the hands of the original owner, and the only way for those attributes to ever express in eternal life was for that same nature to come back down and make a way to get inside of those people. And that's what we say tonight with those of you that have the Holy Ghost. Not the nature of a man, not the nature of a church, but the divine nature of Almighty God.
Oh, my, look at this guy. What a boldness. Hey, did he have peer pressure?
Yeah.
Did he have peer pressure?
Yeah.
He wasn't just a kid. He had peer pressure. My, watch him take it, though. Huh? He just stands right there like he knows what he's talking about. And they said unto him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already. I just went down there and they was preaching and something got a hold to my heart and I've not been the same. Did they take you in a back room and go, hoodie, 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 hoodie? No, they never done no such a thing. Did they take some kind of water and sprinkle on you and some kind of powder? Did they hypnotize you and put this man's picture in front of you? There's a man come several years ago when I was down in Kentucky, Brother Ed. He said, he called me and said, I want to talk to you. I said, all right, come on down to the church. He said, I don't know anything about what y'all believe, but I'm interested. I said, okay. So we got to talking and talking. I noticed him, he kept looking around. So we talked for probably an hour or so. And he said, can I ask you something? I said, sure. He said, where's the statue? I said, what statue's that? He said, that statue that y'all pray to. I said, we don't pray to a statue. Oh, is that right? I said, no. He said, well, somebody told me that y'all had a statue of some man down here called Branham or Branham or something like that. And he said, y'all prayed to a picture of Jesus and then y'all prayed to the statue of Branham or Branham, whatever it was. I said, I'm going to tell you something. They lied to you. Uh-huh. But they look at us and think, my, what kind of people are them? They are so strange. Yes, we are, and we are proud of our oddity. We are proud that we are different from this world. If you couldn't tell our people from the rest of the world, brother, this message has failed. If you could not tell our preachers from the rest of the world, this message has failed. You ain't going to pressure him out of it.
Boy, Brother Reagan, you better be careful. That devil chump will straddle your back. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When I got the Holy Ghost, I didn't get a side saddle for the devil included in my Holy Ghost.
Amen. My word don't tell me nowhere. And you shall receive a side saddle when you receive the Holy Ghost. But my word says you shall receive power after that you receive the Holy Ghost. You know, the prophet of God said you'll finally get to a place that you won't even argue with the devil. He said, because if you'll argue with him, he'll argue day and night. He'll fuss with you. He said, but you stand on the word and don't even fuss with him.
Amen.
Just tell him it's written. And he'll say, all right, I'm telling you, boy, you done this. And if you're not careful, you'll say,
well, devil, I'm telling you what. I know I've made a mistake, but now I'm telling you one thing, devil. I ask the Lord to forgive me.
Why, you sorry low-down sinner, you know you ain't no cow. You're a serpent seed, you're going to hell.
Now, devil, I'm telling you what. I love the Lord, and I know I'm...
And you'll argue and you'll fuss, but you just say, hey, I don't have to listen to you.
Amen.
This time I'm wasting arguing with you, I could be talking to my Father. Just shut up. Just shut up. The devil came to me the other day with an old bad thought. And I said, how dare you put such a thought in the mind of a son of God? You filthy serpent. Take your thoughts and go back to hell and leave me alone. Oh, friend, we let the devil push us around. We let him push us around and he convinces us. Hey, now you've got to be beat down. You can't smile. I'm in the message. Hallelujah. Don't you young people want what I've got? Glory to God. I'm so beat down. I'm so persecuted in this old way. Don't you young people want what I've got? No, they don't. But offer them a God who can produce power. Offer them a God who can produce a reality, a life-changing experience. Now, we ain't never going to get none if I don't hurry. I'm sorry about this, friends. I hope I'm not wearing you out with this same thought. This thing's just exploded on me since I've been here, I'll tell you. My, look at what he done now. I told you already and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Man, you talking about making them mad.
Then they reviled him. You serpent seed. What do you mean be
a disciple of him. I want you to know, glory to God, I'm a disciple of Moses. And that was the God of Moses. They felt so justified in pressuring this little guy. He was just as cool as a cucumber, wasn't he? He just stood there. He said, hurry, hurry, hurry. I'll tell you one thing, glory to God. I'm going to fight you for this, Jesus. Glory to God, I'll bust your mouth. I'll mash you. No. He just stood right there. All right, go ahead. I can't explain it to you. Amen. I don't really have a lot of theological terminology, but all I know is something happened to me. Amen. And I've been around you guys since I was a little fella, and y'all ain't never done nothing. Hallelujah. Oh my. We know that God spake unto Moses, that's from this fella. We don't even know whence he is. And the man answered and said unto them, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Man, I'll tell you, I admire this guy.
If a guy without the Holy Ghost can do this, friend, what about you and I with the Holy Spirit? He don't even have the Holy Ghost yet. He's not even believed personally yet on the Son of God. That's when we're going to come to that. He's just accepted Jesus that he's a healer and a prophet.
My, he's just standing there and them priests are sweating, probably worse than I am, and running around there like a mad hornet. Well, I'll tell you one thing. This gets in our church. It'll tear our church all to pieces. What are we going to do with this man? You can't have them books in here. You can't pass them tapes around in here. But he was like that little eagle that walked around them chickens. He'd walked around that barnyard all of his life. And them old hens would cluck, cluck, cluck. Come over here, honey, and get this little June bug. Ain't this good. Come over here, honey, and get this little grub worm. And that little eagle go over there and say, oh, Lord. I guess I'm going to have to eat it if I want to survive. Get that little worm. Oh, Lord. Good, honey. Cut, 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 cut. He just said, oh, Lord. I was so sick of my stomach, I can't hardly live. But one day he was walking around that barnyard and he heard a scream. And the prophet of God said it was the echo of something from within himself. And he looked up in the sky and he saw a creature that had an identity that runs somewhere down within himself. And she called him sir. Praise God. She called him sir. Amen. I remember that time, don't you? Now, let's pray with this guy. We could stay on him all night. Excuse me. Oh, my. The man answered and said to them, where is it? A marvelous thing. You know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin. Dost thou teach us?
Right.
Good. Where were you running around in your little diapers? And me sitting back there studying them scrolls. How dare you shame your priest? Try to interpret the scriptures to us.
Didn't move him. He just stood there as calm as he could be.
They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. See, the pressure built up so much that the pressure finally ousted him out of their presence. The pressure of this world one of these days is going to build to such a momentum. Hallelujah. It's going to cast us out. Amen. The pressure is going to build out here, and the pressure in here is building to such a place this world won't be a fit place for you to live no longer. They cast him out. Now notice this. After they talked to him like a dog, they belittled him, they humiliated him, his family disowned him, then Jesus shows up. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said, dost thou believe?
on the Son of God?
And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?
Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Now watch him.
And he said, Lord,
I believe, and he worshipped. He didn't bend. He didn't bow to them. He did not succumb to their pressure. He was not humiliated. He was not intimidated. But he bowed at the feet of the Word and worshipped. Oh, praise God. Let's turn now to the book of Galatians and let's look at a man who had the Holy Ghost. That bended to peer pressure. Galatians 2. Chapter 2, verse 11. Now Peter had a problem with this even before he got the Holy Ghost. So I got him in trouble when he was warming by the wrong fire. The pressure got pretty tight on him and said, Hey, wasn't you one of them up there I seen you at that youth camp that time? No, sir, man. Hey, I wasn't there. I'm a cool dude, man. Ain't no way I'd be up there that much of holy rollers. No, sir. It looked like your car. Hey, there's somebody else in town got one like mine. It wasn't me. I'm telling you, I wasn't there. I'm almost sure I saw. I'm telling you, man, I don't know it. You know, it's a shame that some of our young people, the mamas and daddies make them wear dresses and make them dress right. But in order to be accepted in school, they'll break away and start saying little words that they shouldn't say to be accepted. Why? Bending to peer pressure. To be accepted. Because there's something in us we want to be accepted. I want to be accepted, but I want to be accepted with the right people. And Peter got under such pressure standing there by that fire, he cussed and cursed. Is that the scripture? A cursing preacher. I don't even know this man, Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm not the man. You don't know me. I don't even know the man. I wouldn't be caught dead by such a fellow. Why, his life was jeopardized. Now here he comes after he gets the Holy Ghost. And let's look at him again now. Galatians 2:11. When Peter was come to Antioch, this is Paul talking, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. But before the certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Now Peter goes out and preaches to the Gentiles. My, he sits down, he eats with them, and oh my, but some of the Jews come up. Lord have mercy, here comes Peter. Hello, brethren. How y'all been doing? What have you been doing, Peter? Well, I've been preaching down here to these Gentiles. I'll tell you one thing, a bunch of heathens can't get them into the truth. I won't be circumcised. And Paul walked up to him and said, Hey, you're not supposed to act like that. The angel of the age corrected him. Because Peter would stand there and eat with the Gentiles as long as the Jews went there. And the Jews come there. Then he separated himself from them. Why? Because he feared the Jews. Still bending. Still bending. To peer pressure. You see what I'm saying, young people? That if you don't learn to let the Holy Spirit get a hold of it and get control of it in your life, you continue to do it your entire life. You bend and bow and bend and bow and bend and bow. But God don't want that of us. God wants us to stand firm upon His Word and principles of truth.
Now let's go to the prophet of God. And then we'll close on this one. I quoted it to you last night, but I thought it'd be good if I'd read it to you tonight. In Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, if you want to write it down, it's page 5, before they reprinted it. Brother Bim says, now, whenever I come back here to Jeffersonville to visit, he said, the climate in this place, I certainly don't like it because it breaks me down as soon as I get in here. I come across those knobs up there,
and I break out in hives, and I get sick, and swimmy-headed, and everything looks spooky and dark. And I think the great thing is me failing to go out the first time when he called me. He makes it kind of rough on me when I come back in. He makes it kind of rough on me when I come back in. Now we're talking about Brother Brennan bending to the peer pressure of his mother-in-law. Now let's change it again. He's entered into his ministry. He's going to South Africa. He gets down there and these men have done collaborated together and they've decided he's going here and here and here and here and here. But the angel of the Lord comes to him and said, don't go there. You're supposed to go here and stay 30 days and then you're going to go over there and hunt and then you're going to do this and this and this. So he comes out and he tells Brother Sackcloth, he tells Brother Bosworth, and he tells his other brother, no, we can't go there. We're going. He said, Brother Branham, we've done got out the advertisements. We've spent thousands of dollars on doing this. We're going. He said, Brother, I can't go. It's against the will of the Lord. Oh, but Brother Branham, you don't see. We're here without any money. We are going with these men. He came into the room, the angel of the Lord, how faith acts. He came into the room and said, who are these men? What do they mean? And he said, go on with them. It's done been let out, so you'll have to. But remember, it's not the will of God, and you are going to pay for it. Now here the prophet of God stands and tells them, we can't go. It's out of the will of the Lord. Brother Branham gets in the car of a brother by the name of Brother Schumann. He rides down the road and he starts crying and he says, stop the car, stop the car. And he gets out and he goes over and picks some locust leaves off of a tree and he scatters it across the feet and he said, from this time on, we are out of the will of the Lord. And he stands and tells them, we're not in the will of God. And still God tells him, you are going to pay. And friends, did he pay dearly? Don't never get in your mind because you are message people, because we are the bride of Christ, that we can sin and get by. Because we are who we are proves we cannot do it. Right. If there's ever a people that God requires obedience of, it is us. We believe in predestination, yes. We believe in security, yes. But we believe also in obedience to the Word. Yeah. Now look at this. This is a part of God, Brother Biscoe, that frightens me somewhat. I know there's many people around the message don't even fear God. They have no fear of God whatsoever. But you remember the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You'll find the prophet of God said every time the angel of the Lord come in, he feared and he trembled and he shook in his presence. I've never been privileged to talk to an angel of God like the prophet did. I've been privileged a few times to pray and feel the presence of God come down. One time when I was preaching many years ago, I was alone and I was riding in an automobile and I was driving, praying, talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden I heard a voice speaking behind me in the seat. It terrified me, friends. I pulled off the road. I sat there and shook. I was in Pentecost, and this voice said to me, my son, stay with my word, and I will reveal myself even clearer to you on down the road.
I knew nothing about this word.
I sat there and trembled. I was afraid to even look around. This voice shook, and my hair stood up on the back of my neck. I was scared to death. I sat there and trembled and cried, oh God, please help me, God, please. There's something about his presence.
I love to jump and holler and run, worship the Lord.
But there's something about that great presence coming into the presence of the King.
Now look at this. If you've never looked at it this way, just listen. You're out of the will of God and you're going to pay. So you might notice, go wake up your son Billy and tell him in the morning, you're going down to Sunday school and you're going to decide to pray for the sick. On your road back, you're going to start back with a man in a little black car. You're going to pick up another man. On the road, there'll be a native dressed in a white safari suit standing by a eucalyptus tree. And you can call this to the attention of your son. And I am letting you know, you are going to pay. Now,
humanly looking at it, it doesn't look like Brother Branham had any other choice.
Billy come to him and told him, "Daddy, don't you follow them preachers. You do what God tells you to do." He said, "We'll hitchhike back to the States if we have to." And Brother Branham told him, "We're out of the will of God."
But God still held him responsible. He's going to learn a painful, painful lesson. Before God can ever entrust him with the opening of the Word, he's got to learn to bend to the pressure of no other man, no other head, to follow no other person.
Amen.
But God. Now watch this. I walked in there to where the men were. I woke them all up. Brother Bosworth, Brother Baxter, Brother Sescliff, all of them. I said, "I have a word from the Lord." The angel of the Lord met me in the room and he said, "We could go down there, but it will not be a good success like it should be.
And we are going to suffer, and I am going to suffer a great loss."
And I said, "Because he told me
I was not obeying his brothers, or his orders rather,
but because the brothers let it out, and the things that's done been paid, it's not his will, and I'll have to pay for it."
Pressure. Pressure. Those men. Pressure, Brother Branham. When the angel of God said, "Don't you do it. Don't you go."
And he said, "You're going to have to pay." Oh, young people. Young people, listen. For every moment of pleasure of sin, you have to pay for that. The scars on your life. Oh, how many of you sitting here tonight that's not young people? You're in your 30s, your 40s, or whatever, 50s. And still in your mind, you read things over and over of things that you've done in sin. Sure you do. You know it's truth.
Now, we're not talking about a man going out and getting drunk. We're not talking about a man going out and hiring a prostitute. We're talking about a man that just simply disobeyed the voice of the angel. We're going to suffer.
Africa Report 53.
So the rest of the meeting
in Durban,
I barely lived to get home.
And when I come home to find out, I had an African amoeba, dysentery, blood just poured through me as hard as it could.
Nothing would stop it.
They were going to throw me in a pest house when I got to America. They took me to a doctor and he examined me and he said, "It's the worst case I've ever seen in my life."
He put me up in a place and gave me 60 days of treatment.
And God turned his back on me and said, "Go ahead. It's what you wanted." Oh, friend, don't you realize the importance of peer pressure?
The angel of God standing there pressing it to Brother Branham. But these other men, his associates, kept telling him, "You're missing God. We spent all this money. We spent all this money to do this. We've got to do it, Brother Branham. We've got to do it."
I walked up and down the floors. I cried. I begged. I persuaded back and forth, I got down to 110 pounds walking back and forth crying and praying. I got so at night I couldn't even rest. Every 5 minutes I woke up with a fever.
Think of it. Brother Branham, why?
Peer pressure.
Some of you old people have thought this is just for young people. I'm going to tell you something, it ain't. It's for all of us. It's for all of us.
I started crying. And I started crying. I thought, "God, what am I going to do?" And I heard something go.
It was the first time for months and months. The first time
for months and months. No visitation of the angel of the Lord.
Brother Branham's so sick. Crying. Walking the floor. Losing weight. Passing by, and the doctor finally told him, he said, Mr. Branham, there's nothing I can do for you. He said, you're going to die. There's nothing we can do. But one night he hears,
amen.
Notice his first reaction. I knew he was in the room, and I looked around, and there was standing that light over in the corner, and I got out of the bed on the floor.
Not shouting, not jumping.
Mercy. 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 Oh God.
May the Holy Spirit just take this and sink this down our hearts now.
I got down on the floor and I said, oh God, have you come to pardon your servant, or have you come to take me away? He's so desperate. And just then I looked, coming right down in front of me, oh God,
and I broke into a vision. And I seen a man come walking to me with typewriter paper in his hand. And he walked up and said, in so much that you were thinking about your future. And I said, yes, sir. I was wondering what my future holds. And I looked down on the floor, and something had been written on the floor. And he took that typewriter paper and threw it up.
And there was a complete road up to heaven, and a great voice screamed from above the paper and said, your future is clear.
Amen.
Your future is clear. And he said, will I be bothered with this anymore? And he said, no more.
To a chosen vessel. A man ordained to be the seventh angel. Look at us, friends.
We can't play with sin. If you're sitting here tonight and you've got cold and you've got indifferent on God, and you say, well, I'm ordained, I'm predestined. Look, don't use that as a scapegoat for your sin. God will not let us get by with those things. Look, for months and months and months,
he was so sick and thought he was going to die.
Why? Because he smoked a cigarette? No. He got under the wrong pressure. And he yielded to the wrong pressure. Let's just bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I know this is a different sort of a way to end the service, but I just feel to stop right here, Lord. Dear God, I'm just a mortal man. I don't know the needs of these people. Very few of them I even know by name. That's not really so important anyway. The important thing is that you know our needs. Dear God, I pray that you would take your word tonight, Lord. Father God, may you break it to our hearts in such a way that it would be able to minister to us personally. I know it's simple, and I know I'm a simple preacher, Lord, but I just pray that somehow you'd take it in its simplicity. Oh, Father, may you just speak to every heart tonight, God. You know every person, Lord, man, woman, boy, and girl. Lord, may the great Spirit of God just search every heart tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, we don't want to yield to the wrong kind of pressure. Oh, Father, as I read this last night after I went in, and again today so many times, and each time looking at it, oh God, and thinking in my own heart, Father, help me not to yield, Lord, to the wrong kind of pressure. Lord, forgive me, Father, and these people, Lord, for our failures, Lord, as mortals. You know, every need tonight, dear God, as we're here, we're needy people. May the Spirit of God, I pray, deal with every heart in accordance to their need. Oh, grant it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, friend, let's just keep our heads bowed for just a moment. Think tonight, as the people of God, there's never been a people as you. God bringing us to such a state of maturity and perfection and revelation. And God requires obedience. You see, one side of this message is the receiving side. But then after receiving it, there's a responsibility that goes with hearing this word. And you and I are going to be held more responsible than the rest of the people that are in darkness. Oh, friend, tonight, if you're young or old, if you're a minister or a deacon or a trustee or whatever you are, a brother or sister, if you're lukewarm tonight and your walk with God is not where it should be, and you know it's not, there's not really enough room for everyone to come up here, but if you have an urgent need tonight and you feel like the Lord Jesus directed this word to your heart, when no one is looking, I want you to just come and stand here before Him tonight and say, God, I've got a need, Lord. I don't want to find myself, Lord, in that kind of condition. I want to be like this man in John 9 that stood for you, though his mama wouldn't stand and his daddy wouldn't stand and all the clergy stood against it. Yet, Lord, He stood for you. If you're here tonight and you're a backslider, maybe you're here and your fellowship has got cool with the Lord and you've become indifferent. Don't think, friend, that you can come and sit in one of the greatest churches in the world. Don't think you can sit there and continue to come Sunday after Sunday and remain in that condition. You cannot. Good God holds you responsible. God's given you a great shepherd. God's given you ministers. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. You know that already. I told my wife yesterday, I guess it was, some of the greatest ministry in the world as pastor, and you have been privileged to hear them. Brother Jeremiah, Brother Vin, all the brothers that have come through, you've been privileged. But with that privilege, comes such an awesome responsibility. And we, as the people of God, must react upon this responsibility and be willing to accept it. We don't want to become complacent and cold and indifferent. We want our hearts to be on fire with God. Don't we, saints? We don't want to be cold and indifferent in our lives. We don't want to be under the pressure of this world. But we want to be under the pressure of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. The prophet of God said in Matthew 56, angelic beings associate together. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, that gives you the right to fellowship with angels. There's where God wants your pressure to come from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come, friends. The Spirit of God dealing with your heart. May the Holy Spirit just deal with you. Don't be ashamed. Well, you say, Brother Reagan, I'd be ashamed for anyone to see me. I wouldn't want my pastor to know I've got a need. If you've got a need, church, tonight, your pastor would rather you'd come and let God be for you than sit there. He loves you. Jesus Christ is here tonight to minister to your needs. Oh, hallelujah. I think, friend, that this can not only be a great time for the young people, I think this can be a great renewing for all of us tonight. Young and old and middle-aged. Because the Spirit of God just takes His word and speaks to our heart. Oh, Lord. There's more older people here in the altar already than young people. God bless you, friends. Oh, Father. Oh, Father God. Oh, Father God. The Lord of all. Together, everyone, those of you that are sitting there tonight, maybe you don't have a personal need at this time, but these are your brothers and your sisters, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, or your friends or your loved ones that are standing here tonight. They have a need in their life, maybe small or maybe large, but I believe they've not just come up here just to walk, to take a trip so someone could see them. Surely they have a need. And let us together offer a word of prayer for them. Will you help me pray for them? That the Holy Spirit would just be able to minister to their hearts. Every believer, let's pray for them right now. Heavenly Father, our brothers and sisters stand here tonight, Lord. Oh God, they have come to you, Lord Jesus, knowing that you're the only one that's able to help them with this problem in their life. And oh God, I've not preached this way to belittle anyone or to unchristianize anyone, oh Father, but that we, Lord Jesus, might be able to lay aside all of our weaknesses and lay them there at your feet, oh God, and ask for help. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, from the youngest to the eldest of those who have got out of their seat tonight and walked up here, Lord, each person represents a need, a desire. Oh, Father, may your great Holy Spirit move in their lives tonight, oh God. Each one of us can look, Lord, and see that we, in times gone by, have surrendered to the wrong pressure. But, oh, Father, we desire to be under the influence of the right peer, Lord. I pray you would help my brothers and sisters here tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, may the great Holy Spirit that is present here now, may you minister to every heart, Father. In the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.